This is a HeadGum Podcast. This episode of Lady Lovin' is brought to you by Away First Class Luggage at a coach price. And I love that metaphor because I love to fly first class at coach prices. But back to the suitcases, you guys. If you haven't heard of Away, they have perfect luggage. The approach is simple. They create special objects that are designed to be resilient, resourceful, and essential to the way that you travel today. They create their suitcases out of high-quality materials, and they offer a much lower price point compared to other brands because they're cutting out the middleman and they're selling directly to you. They have so many colors and four sizes: the carry-on, the bigger carry-on, the medium, or the large for extended stay. And I have traveled around the world with the large. I had it in this cute green color. What's also cool about Away is that in the Away carry-on, they have this USB cord that can charge your phone. And one time I was flying for a business meeting from LA to Las Vegas, of all places, and I had to get in touch with my driver on the ground there. But LAX, my phone was already dying, but guess what? My Away suitcase saved the day, you guys, because I was able to charge my phone before I got on that tiny little plane to Las Vegas. All the suitcases are made from premium German polycarbonate, which is unrivaled in strength and impact resistance. There are four 360-degree spinner wheels that guarantee a smooth ride through JFK or wherever you're going, and a 100-day trial. You can live with it, vibe with it, travel with it. If you decide it's not for you, you can return it for a full refund. So, listeners, beautiful listeners, if you want $20 off a suitcase, just visit awaytravel.com/lovin and use promo code LOVIN, L-O-V-I-N, during checkout. Again, for $20 off a suitcase, visit awaytravel.com/LOVIN and use promo code LOVIN, L-O-V-I-N, at checkout.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
And welcome to Lady Lovin'. I'm Jilly Hendricks, and I'm joined by Lo Bosworth.
Hi.
Greta Teitelman.
Hi.
And a very special guest. We have Allison Werner here. She's a Reiki master and a life coach, and she's here to help us.
Hello.
She's here to guide us today, you guys. Lo's taking photos of her boobs over there.
Sorry, I'm really distracted.
And Greta's distracted.
I'm distracted by Lo's hot ass cleavage right now.
She does. My is that what you worn on the airplane, Lo?
I thought you were gonna write the caption was gonna be dressed for the job you want.
Should it be?
It should.
You guys, welcome. Welcome to your week. I'm so excited to have you here.
I'm very excited to be here. Thank you, guys.
I've heard such wonderful things about you from Jilly. You've like really helped transform.
Me.
Well, Jilly's spoken about you on the podcast
I
before,
have.
And you've really like transformed Jilly and helped her a lot. So thank you.
Yeah.
Before Allison, I was a...
She was a wreck.
I was a sad puppy in the corner, and now I'm a strong bitch.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
I'm a strong female dog.
Exactly.
That's right.
So I want to know first, how does one become a life coach?
So it's
because I'm always fascinated by this because life coaches to me, because I'm in the camp where I'm just like, okay, life coach, like.
Totally.
How, like, what do you know? Like, tell me what you know. Like, if you were a life coach and you're like 75 and you look like a sage of sorts, then I'm like, okay, like I understand this,
right,
but like
wisdom.
Yeah,
are
but
you saying she like needs a beard?
I mean, not to like profile or be, you know, but like, I don't know, life coaches to me, because I do know a lot of women that I know that go to life coaches, and all of their life coaches are also young women,
right,
for the
and
most part.
You tend to kind of go for experience. Like when you say life coach, there's like a wisdom and experience
right.
thing that gives that sort
but
of older
But you do.
Age.
You have the wisdom.
Well, right. So what I was going to say is the most interesting thing for me that I realized through my training was that when I entered, the first answer is there's trainings all over the world, like UK, US, Japan, like it's this united front where people basically just learn skills to be coaches. And everyone in those programs has started pretty much the same way, which is this is something I naturally was drawn towards, and a lot of people told me in my corporate jobs or whatever, like, you should do this. The difference in the trainings is just how deep you want to go, how hands-on you want to go, or if it's the type of thing where, like, you're like, I want to do this the way I do this. I'm just going to go through, like, the 5-day, you know, training and then get certified. Like, they're the same way school is. There's, like, longer programs and shorter programs, but it is, you know, an international certification that does exist now.
So how long, like, where did you train and what is that like?
So, yeah, so I trained here in LA with this program called Coaches Training Institute, CTI. But again, it's a global organization. They've got certified coaches from the U.S. that go abroad to facilitate these trainings. And my program specifically it's basically like a 5-month, I call it like the prerequisites, if it was like pre-med or something. It's 5 3-day workshops, and that's like from 8 to 5 for 3 days straight once a month until you complete those. And then it's an actual 6-month certification process, which is you then join a pod, you take the skills that you've learned, and you're supervised as you coach and as you kind of talk through the learnings of coaching.
Got it.
So I thought it would be pretty interesting to have Allison on the podcast today because we've been getting a lot of emails about anxiety and depression. Obviously, that's been happening a lot in the news the past weeks with all of, the high profile
Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain
suicides. Yes. Yeah. So, obviously, anxiety and depression are things that the three of us have really struggled with in our lives, and we've all kind of dealt with that and got help in different ways. And one of the ways in which I've helped my anxiety and depression is with Allison. So I thought we could answer some of the emails and she could give some sort of the tips that she would give as if she was coaching someone.
Cool.
That's great.
I can't wait to hear your advice, Allison.
She's the best.
Wait, I also just have one quick question before we dive into listener emails. All because right. You know I'm just like nosy and I like to find out everything.
Let's hear it.
Can we just like briefly talk about the Reiki situation?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
How did you become a Reiki master? Yeah. Because like I love how I'm like, my mentality is like, no, like I don't want a life coach, but like if you're a witch, like I'm down, you know? That's like.
Yeah. My story actually starts really with my parents. My dad is a therapist and my mom has been doing Reiki since I was in high school. But it's funny because I too, like, I didn't really understand what my mom did until 2 years ago. I was like, yeah, this is weird. You do Reiki. Like, I don't know what that is. And one of the reasons I'm excited to be here is I also have experienced anxiety, you know, bits and pieces of depression. And for me, I quit my job 2 years ago. Like, I just hit rock bottom and I needed to make a change. And I, you know, my now mentor, you know, who I worked with across the board for Reiki astrology coaching, she was like, you need to do this Reiki training. Even if you don't see one client in your whole life, she's like, you need to change your entire, like, emotional and physical makeup. And so I did like one, you know, Reiki 1 and Reiki 2, and I liked it. But I then, you know, once you do Reiki 1 and 2, you can actually practice on other people. And it was like, I can't explain it. It's one of those things, like the first person I ever worked on, it was just like the moment the treatment started, I just like knew. And it was just like, it was something bigger than me, not to sound cheesy, but then it was the type of thing that as the trainings went on, I evolved as a person too. And then like my sessions with people got more powerful and more powerful. So it really truthfully started with needing to make a change within myself and then decided this is something I want to share with other people.
So then how do you become a master?
Is Reiki?
Yes. Okay. So Reiki, like the most basic definition is sort of like universal life force energy healing. So the principle is that if you take the energies that exist within the universe, Reiki masters throughout the process become attuned to this life force energy. And, you know, it's not like I'm giving you my energy. It's more I become a vessel for whatever exists passing through me onto you. And so it's like the most basic thing I can say is like if you ever walk into a room and you're like, holy shit, something is weird here today. Like, we know that that type of thing exists. Like, around a full moon, like, don't go to Erewhon, don't go to Whole Foods because, like, people are batshit crazy. You know what I mean? We're all, like, there. What? We're running around and it's, like, crazy energy, but it's real. And so it's also, for me, it's the, you know, there is this element of mind-body-soul connection in a sense of if this energy passes through you, I work directly with chakras, which are the kind of electrical currents in our body. The energy passes through to not only align them, but clean them out, rid yourself of sort of the toxic energy that manifests in your body, you know, to create this balance from inside out. So whether that's like an emotional release or like if people, you know, have like a stomach release or whatever that is, it's just we hold so much inside in our minds, in our bodies. And this is really just a way to like clear out, align and help you kind of purge that, making room for the more balanced and strong presence.
Cool.
That is
I love
very
that.
Interesting. Cool. I would like that.
Yes,
me too.
Anytime.
Joe bought me a session, but then I never went. But now that we're here, I'm going.
Yeah, I did, Lo. And just think you would have been fucking
I would have been
better off.
Killing just it months ago.
Just kidding.
I see an acupuncturist and a Chinese medicine doctor. She's changed my life.
Yeah.
Like,
it's the same
acupuncture
principle.
Has changed my life. Same, yeah. I have lupus, and it's like – I had a nodule in my hand that I've had for like years, like, and then it developed into being like a huge ball. She got rid of it. Like,
that's
it was
insane.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And she's amazing. So I really do believe in all of like energy work and yeah. healing work like that. And I do like we are all just energy.
Yeah.
Like our whole yeah. bodies are just energy.
Well,
and it is
thing
that.
I'm, yeah.
So I know it is that when you say when you walk into a room and you walk in, you're just like, ugh, like the vibe was like whack or yeah, it was like yeah. spooky or like it was amazing, we were having the best time, like it's that's all
it yeah
the same
yeah the on and because I wanted to add to like all of this acupuncture, Reiki, coaching, meditate, like it's half me but it's also half you, like
right.
what the body can do when you give it time to do something that's just like I don't want to get too, you know, cheesy, but like still and quiet, like your body knows what to do to
right.
heal. It really does in all of this, so that's why it's cool.
Beautiful.
Cool. I love that.
All right. Now that we yeah. were debriefed, we can start with the questions.
Yes. Okay. A lovely listener wrote us in saying she loves us for quite some time. We've gotten her through stressful times. Thank you so much. She says she's trying to get back into dating life. She's 24 years old, been single for a few years now. And after ending a very abusive relationship, I find it hard to get myself back into the dating life because of my past. There's a guy I've been talking to and want to meet him soon. He's in the military, so it's been extremely hard to have our schedules meet. I'm nervous about coming to the point of opening up to another guy and getting fucked over, having my past used against me. My depression has been coming back in waves, which is hard to deal with. After my abusive relationship, I was diagnosed with chronic disease, developed an eating disorder, went to treatment, got help, and I have PTSD. I could go on, but I'm just venting. How do I open up to this guy or anyone I decide to date without feeling like I have so many issues? At this point, I don't really know what I'm asking, but I'm terrified of getting hurt. My depression, anxiety may be what I deal with for the rest of my life. Does this make sense?
It makes 100% sense.
Yeah,
to
it makes
me.
That sense.
That's well. She says, "Does this make sense?" Probably not. Good Lord, thanks for reading this jumbled mess.
It totally
love
makes.
You. We love you too.
It makes sense.
Totally makes sense.
It all makes sense.
I feel like I'm going through something very similar to our listener off my breakup from last year. You know, like it's been a while for me, but I keep going out with these guys and I get these emotional hangovers the next day where I miss my ex so badly. It really feels difficult. I don't want to open up to them. I'm like sort of closed off. I end up apologizing. So
yeah.
like I get it, but I don't exactly know how to move through that. So maybe our goddess Allie can help.
Well, the one interesting thing I did want Allie to talk about too is I have PTSD and that was like a major thing that we discussed of how to move on. Or how to deal with that, and you know when you're opening up to different guys and how to go on dates. And I remember right. like, you know, in the winter we had this amazing conversation. I don't know if you want to go through the four different the whatever the coaching shit you did to me, but it worked. It worked.
Tell me what I did. No. Are you talking about like the different perspectives?
Yeah, the perspectives. Perspective training, right?
Yeah.
That's what it's called. Right?
Yeah, we'll call it. Yeah. Basically So as it relates to the listener, or, okay.
Yeah.
So
you could use me as an example because I'm an open book. I don't. You could
yeah.
like use my exact things.
Yeah.
I don't care. Maybe this will help her.
Well, so Jilly's been amazing to coach because there are things that I know obviously about you. I mean, we were friends, but it's like we're very good about creating that boundary in the session. So like I try not to apply anything that I know about you. And so one of the things that I just was listening to in your story, which is actually similar to your listener, is just like you were – a little bit sick of your own narrative. Like you had been telling yourself that you have PTSD and that it's the reason for X, Y, and Z. And so what she and I did, we just kind of like stepped out of that and we listened, or she gave examples of like things that she loves, things that she hates. And we did this little, you know, dance around and like stepped into each perspective and just was like, if you weren't Jilly for a second, if you were...
Use it all. I don't care.
So she like, I was just like, what's your favorite color? And she was like, red. And I'm like, why? She's like, I don't know. It just, it's like sexy and bold, you know, stuff like that. And all of a sudden it was this like thing for her to play around with. Like, let me embody red for a second. How would red go on a date? How would red treat this? And I think for you, what I saw was just an escape from yourself for a second, but there was a connection there. So you weren't like pretending to be something you weren't. I don't know. Is that?
Yeah. So like the red I was one. And then the second one was like we referred to my PTSD as.
Oh, yeah.
Like so, the black hole from like the beast of, you know, that Harry Potter movie that the magical like beast. The black,
yeah.
What was that called?
Oh, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find
Them. Yeah. And Where to Find Them. It was like there was this black.
Mass.
Mass and like a tornado. And so that was like the PTSD. And then it was like.
Yeah. So I'm sure you've all heard the term like you've got. Like gremlins or, you know, if you've ever done like the artist's way, like I forget what she calls it, but you know, you all have these things inside of you and sometimes it's fun to just like make light of them, play around with them. And so I think that's what you're referring to is that it was this darkness in you, but all of a sudden we gave it a shape, we gave it a personality and all of a sudden you could look at it as something that existed outside of you, not just within you. And you could like talk to it, tell it to go away. You know, that was an exercise too.
So we did like how you'd react if you were red, how you'd react if you were, you know, this black hole, how would you react if you were this? And then you kind of could see like how you reacted to each situation in those four different perspectives. And then like which perspective you wanted to carry on with you, as opposed to like, you know, kind of like labeling yourself as like, I have this. It's like, that's not me. Like, I'm not defined by that. That's just a part of me. And so I think like for this listener, like, I think that if there's a way that you can set yourself, I think if you can just set that kind of apart and realize that you are more than that, you know what I mean? Like, that's not something that defines you. Yes, that's a part of you, but that's just like a small part. And there's so many other parts. And you know, try to move forward with those other parts in those situations as opposed to like that specific one. That's kind of what I learned from that exercise.
And one of the things just to go to the listener's email is before she said like, I'm terrified to open up, is like you can feel fear in everything that she was saying in that story. Like whether it's fear of the same relationship repeating itself or fear of how she's going to then be in a new relationship. And so this is one of those moments where it would be like, you know, the sort of thing, the previous relationship that existed, like leaving that in the past, but carrying the fear with you for a second, I would actually have her spend time with this fear to really like get to the bottom of what it is that scares her. Because that's at the root of all of this. If it is, you know, I also heard a value in there, which is that like she really does want to open up to someone new. This isn't just like, I want to fall in love again. You know, it's really like, how do I find myself to be in a new relationship? And so I think for her, like spend some time with the fear, play around with it, give it a voice, give it a name, and then just, you know, as best you can make it a part of the conversation, but not let it define, you know, how you go on from here.
So if you're like able to identify what your fear is, then what do you do with it?
Yeah, I mean, I think you then have to talk to it as the you that guides you and is the strongest you. So like if I'm here and I have like crazy fear in a situation, I would like then choose my, like if we're going in this route, like I would then choose my superhero for a second. Like I don't even know who mine is right now, but like at one point it was, you know, a Jennifer Lawrence type of being, this person who kind of like appears on in movies and is so like uninhibited and just like doesn't give a fuck about what anyone says, you know, I would like talk to it as her and just kind of see what that felt like, because I think a lot of the things that we struggle with, it's because we can't like sit with it for a long period of time. Like all we want to do is shut it up and say like, I don't want to be like this. I don't want to be like this. But like you actually need to give it a voice to really rid your body of it. And I mean, that's going to be personal to like each individual. I also think sometimes people want to sit at the lowest of the low, and that feels really good. You can't stay there forever, but if that's the if the point at which you want to deal with something is to understand it from like the bottom and the root of it, like that's okay too. You just have to get to know it a little bit better.
Sometimes it's super comfortable. I've like found when I was in my lowest of low, it's comfortable to be in that place, and it's sometimes harder to get out of that place.
Yeah.
Because you're just like, I feel like shit. I can feel like shit every day. And you're like, feeling good means I have to work on myself or I have to change. And that's how the fuck do I do that? And that's scary.
Right. Well, a lot of people find comfort in discomfort.
Yeah.
Misery loves company.
Totally.
Yeah.
I mean, it's easier to be miserable a lot of the time.
100%.
My mom always told me that. It's way easier to wake up and be fucking pissed off and depressed and in a bad mood. It's like way easier to do that. Because yeah. You can wake up and be like... And be like, everything sucks. Like, yeah. My life sucks. Yeah. I am lame. I'm a loser. Like, I want to be doing this, this, and this. It's much harder work, and it takes a lot of self-work and discipline to wake up every morning and make the decision that you're going to try and, you know, be a more positive version of yourself. I've been working on this since I moved to LA, and it's like, it's hard work. And it's also, you need to really have belief in yourself. To our listener, I would say that like, you really need to believe that you can change. At the end of the email, and she was like, is anxiety and depression just me for forever? Like, no, it's not you for forever, because look, depression and anxiety for me is something I've dealt with my entire life. It's something that I will deal with my entire life. But those things don't define me, and they don't define who I am. And I don't let them define who I am, because then that's them getting the best of me. That's them taking your life and your identity. And you can't be scared. Like, yes, be scared. And I agree. Like, sit with that fear and find out what that is. But ultimately, you're not going to be depressed and anxious for forever.
No.
Like, that's not who – and I know that too, because you wouldn't be writing us an email if you wanted to feel this way forever.
Right.
You know? Like, you're clearly the kind of person that wants to move forward and wants to grow and change and, you know, evolve. So I think that you're on the right track.
Yes. And one final thing I would say too is that – it seems that, like, when you go through a relationship like the one she went through, there's an element of trust that is lost. And I think that if she's got a date with this guy and she's like, how do I open up? I would say trust that he's not the other guy.
That's the thing, though. Like, it's so many of my friends that have been in abusive situations. It's you, you know, you think that everyone is going to be the same. It's really like, how do you rebuild that trust? You know, it's like, how do you rebuild that? And that's the trust that, like, you really just need to find in yourself.
Exactly.
I also feel that, you know, thinking that every guy is, you know, the worst or like your ex, it's like you have to trust that, you have to kind of let yourself go, and you have to trust that they're not. And that doesn't mean that it's going to work out, but you will have a different experience with that person. But I think a lot of times people are like, oh, I don't want to let go and I don't want to do that, unless it's like the one, and they think that, oh, this guy, because he's different than the others, is the one. But like, he might still also not work out. Mm-hmm. You
There's
know?
No way of knowing who the quote unquote one is. First of all, we've talked about this before.
I don't mean
just I know, but I'm saying there's no way of ever finding that out unless you decide to give into the experience and figure it out. Yeah. Otherwise, you're never going to find anyone.
Yeah.
So probably I've read through about 10 different emails of women that have written to us that have said, I have tons of anxiety in my relationship. How do I handle anxiety in my relationship? So what would be some tools or some sort of, I guess, specific things that women could do when they're feeling like they have tons of anxiety in a relationship? I mean, I can read one of these emails.
What kind of anxiety is what
they're all pretty much the same? They just say,
where does the anxiety come from? Are they afraid that they're going to be left? Are they afraid that they're not doing enough?
People haven't really, and the emails we get from a lot of our listeners, they're not very specific as to why they're having anxiety. It's just they're having a lot of anxiety and they're in a relationship and that.
Are they scared the anxiety is ruining their relationship?
Yes.
I think for me, I can speak to personal experience. I had a ton of anxiety in my past relationship. And until it was coming to an end and afterwards, I wasn't really able to pinpoint what it was about. And it was about my fear of him leaving me the entire time. For some reason, my body got clued onto the fact that, like, he has commitment issues. And, like, my body knew way before my brain did that he was not 100% available emotionally and, like, for the long run. And, like, my body knew, and it started to react, and it, like, sent me into a spiral of, like, stress and depression. And when I was in the relationship, I just made the assumption that, like, oh, I'm having some health problems right now. I've just, you know, like, I'm coming into this age. Anxiety runs in my family, and, like, that's what this is. But the reality was that it was about my relationship. And so for a lot of people, I think it does have something to do with what's going on within their private lives.
I agree.
Do you think that can you have anxiety and be in a healthy relationship? Or do you think it's always from the person? Because, like, Greta, you've had anxiety and you're in a really healthy relationship.
Yeah, but my anxiety isn't about my relationship. My anxiety is all work-related. Truly, that is the center of all of my problems is that's my obsession. And that's always been my obsession is work, 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 work. So for me, I don't get anxious about my relationship. I feel, you know, I feel super stable about my relationship. Do I sometimes worry that how anxious and psycho I am about work will harm my relationship? 100%. But the stem of my anxiety has never been my romantic relationships. It's always been work.
Yeah, I have a lot of anxiety about work all the time.
Yeah, but, you know, everyone's different. Like, some people never feel anxious about work, and some people really feel anxious about their relationships. Like, I think anxiety is, like, such a general term for something that is actually just the most specific. Like, I think that, you know, I think the more I've come to sit with my anxiety and identify my anxiety and understand my anxiety. Anxiety is actually, like, a very interesting emotion. And there's a lot of research and stuff to be learned about yourself from it if you give yourself a second to understand it.
Totally.
So I've been trying to give myself more time to understand my anxiety and think, you know, like you were saying, like, why is this making me feel anxious? What about this is making me feel anxious? Like, and then working from there, you know, I've come to the point where now I know whenever I'm anxious, it is always about work and me feeling inadequate in my work community. Those are the two things that I am anxious about.
Yeah. I also think anxiety to a certain extent is, like, it can manifest into, like, crazy behavior or, like, stress or heart racing or, like, just you being, like, a basket case in front of people. But it can also, like, live in silence. And simultaneously, I think that if you look at a given moment where you feel anxious, it's usually given to something that has – it's usually, like, something that has happened has made you anxious about something else that's going to happen, or it's around something you're thinking is going to happen. And so, like, again, I wish there was, like, a, you know, chicer word than, like, just stay present, you know? But I think there is something to be said for, like, if in a moment you can find a split second to just, like, check in and be like, What is this really about? Like, to your point, Lo, like, you had an intuition that something was off. Your brain didn't have the words for it yet, but it's like you knew. The difference that I know you'll make next time is that when that intuitive hit comes, you're going to give it a voice sooner. You're going to be like, wait, hold on a second. Like, what am I feeling? And you'll know to trust that because it was like an instinct in you that was pretty strong. And like with you, Greta, it's like, you know, I would say, like, how would relationship Greta deal with work mode Greta's anxiety? You know, if there are certain things that make you feel anxious and other things don't, okay, well, what's that about too? Why can we handle one thing and not handle another?
I think it becomes complicated because, like, in my relationship, my partner gives me such stability. Like, he is so open and loving and caring and reassuring. He's a true dream of a person to be with. So he's serving all of this to me. You know what I mean?
Totally. Where, he's giving like, you that security.
Exactly. And it's and that is what I don't have in my career, right. is that security and that reassurance and that to be honest, like I think relationship Greta is probably just like more confident and secure in the relationship, which is something that I should transfer into career Greta is right. being just like confident and secure in what I'm doing.
Totally. So know? Here's or, the thing. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
No. I was just going to say, or I hate sounding like so cliche, but like, or find your version of stability in that unstable environment.
Yeah.
Well, and that's my question is a lot of people don't have stability in a relationship, stability in their career, stability even in a home, but it's like you can't just, you know, have panic attacks every day. So how do you deal with like instability everywhere? Yeah. Because like I also feel that like I don't really have stability so much in anything in my life right now. I'm like working on new projects with work. Like, you know, I'm just sort of not, you know, I'm not married with a kid and like this is my life. Like I don't have that vision. I'm just like I'm just working shit out.
Totally.
So like how do you handle anxiety when you don't have a support system like Greta?
So one of the first things I learned in coaching was the first thing I learned is actually like how to listen to people. The second thing is they have this like amazing model that says like every single person is naturally creative, resourceful, and whole. And I think that the moment somebody starts to feel anxious, you start to go to this place of like, I'm broken. Oh my God, I can't do this. Like there's all these things we tell ourselves. So I think the first thing, Jilly, is know, first of all, that you are like a whole being and totally capable of handling this. You also have to, like, even if it is in a split second, like it's why people that love meditation so much are always like, in a moment, take 5 deep breaths because it can change like the or like whatever the word is about what's going on in your body. And if you do, like there is something to be said for taking deep breaths and that works, but you're not always afforded that. I do think though that in a given day, if something is going on, like you can take 1 minute to just step outside of whatever's going on for a quick second and not like, I don't want to be as simple as collect yourself, but almost just like touch base with the part of you that is stable because you might feel unstable by the external things around you. But like I would say to you, like in that world of instability, like what do you do to feel grounded?
Well, I actually feel really stable right now.
Great. So okay.
I'm trying to think back of when I let me think.
Do you meditate?
So I have been meditating. Like I've really been changing my viewpoint and my actions, obviously, since we started working together in, like, the winter. But I think for me, the biggest thing that I learned was, like, how to not emotionally react. Because I think stuff would happen and I would, like, have, like, these freakouts. And then I'd be like, you need to just, like, relax. Like, and then you need to approach this from a non-emotional way. Like, that was one of the biggest issues I was having with work was I was reacting to everything emotionally instead of, like, I don't guess – you know, intelligently or from a place of like, what do I really want? Like, what is my end goal
here? Thinking.
Rational. Yeah. So I think that that's like something that I really that like helped me a lot. I don't even remember what your original question was. Oh, when was I?
No, like, what do you do to like be grounded?
Yeah, it's just I'm trying to just take a deep breath. I'm using the Headspace app, which has helped me a lot. They have like a whole section on anxiety. So I've been doing those like meditations every morning for 10 minutes in the bath. And I know, it's been great. I love baths. But I think also just like, you know, I've always been the type of person that I keep super busy. I don't like to have like nights off. I'm not like a homebody, but hold on. I was just going to say, but recently over the past like 5 months, I've really made a point to be with myself more because I think that for so many years, for like 30 years, I was just like, since I was one, I was always, you know, I had plans every night.
I was one.
No, but I was always just like keeping myself busy because I didn't want to think and I didn't want to feel and I didn't want to deal with it. And so something that's been like really exciting for me, like I guess over the past like 5 months is like I really enjoy like having dinner by myself. And I'm like, I'm by myself. I'm not with anyone. I like my friends are busy. like, whatever, like, I can just, I can be alone and, like, that's okay and I will be okay. And, like, that's something that I've, like, worked on as well.
I oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think that, like, when I moved to LA, like, 5 months ago, like, my world came crashing down on me. And it has forced me to spend time with myself and, like, get to know myself. And in New York, I was constantly doing something all the time.
Yeah.
Walk out my door. I'm in the middle of the city. I'm seeing my friends. I'm doing work. I'm doing show. Like, it was just nonstop. And, like, I could push all of this shit away because I was just so I had so many distractions outside of myself with, like, just all these things. And then I come here and my whole life took a total pause. Like, my whole entire life hit the brakes. And I was just forced to spend a lot of time with myself, a lot of time alone, a lot of time not having the distractions I had in New York. And it initially made me so fucking depressed. Mm-hmm. Like, one of the lowest points I've been in ever. And now, like, that I'm starting to slowly come out of it, I feel so grateful that I'm going through this experience because it's given me the opportunity to, like, get to know myself in a totally different way that I don't think I would have been able to do in New York. Like, I don't think I would have ever done this in New York just because I lived in New York for 10 years and that was just my lifestyle. That was just who I was and how I functioned. And, like, I didn't really see that changing.
Yeah, you know? And I think the one thing I'll say, too, is with any type of anxiety, I mean, I think, like, psychologists have, like, actual terminology for what it is, whether it's control or whatever, but, like, you really do have to let go of what you can't control. And so there is this, like, beauty in hitting whatever version of rock bottom is yours, because at that moment, you're just like, there's nothing, there is just nothing, like, left. Like, I don't, I've been acting a certain way and it has brought me here. So, like, what is the change? Where do I need to step up or make changes or have a different perspective or seek certain things? And so, like, with people who are asking for, you know, advice around anxiety in a relationship, it's like you have to let go of what you're trying to either force or control, or you also have to communicate. Like, you have to give whatever anxiety you're having, say it out loud, see how it's met. If it's met with, like, oh, I actually was right in thinking this, then that gives you a little bit of that control and power back, because you're like, oh, this isn't just my head going crazy. This was me actually identifying something that's going on. Or you can express an anxious moment and have it met with complete, like, empathy and compassion and work and move on from it, you know? So,
you guys, not to get, like, religious, because you guys know I'm not religious at all, but my mom's favorite prayer was the Serenity Prayer. It was actually on her mass card when she died. And I just love it so much. And I just want to read it because I think it's, like, really, like, spot on. It's just, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. And I just think that it's, like, that's, like, so true.
Yeah.
Because that's the learning part, is to know the difference between the things that you are in control of and the things that you aren't in control of.
100%.
And that's, like, what I've been learning here is, like, oh, there's just a bunch of shit that I'm actually just, like, not in control of.
100%.
The other thing that I love, really, is when you go through, like, all of this sort of anxiety, depression, you obviously seek a lot of help and you learn and you're really getting to know yourself. It's like you're kind of preparing yourself to sort of be able to handle so much in your life and also to, you know, have a strong relationship because you know how to communicate, you're self-aware, you know what you want, you know what upsets you. Like, you really are becoming, like, a whole person. So I think that, like, a lot of people, you know, I think they give too much power to these anxieties and these depressions. And I think that that's something that, you know, everyone should try to work on.
I love that.
Yeah.
Don't give it so much power.
Yeah. Shall we take a quick commercial break?
Yes.
Yeah, dog.
Green Chef is now sponsoring Lady Lovin', and we couldn't be more thrilled. For those of you that don't know, Green Chef is now owned by HelloFresh. So we love our meal kit companies. But the amazing thing about Green Chef is that it is the first USDA certified organic meal kit delivery service that includes every single thing you need to cook delicious gourmet meals that you can feel amazing about. I'm so excited about Green Chef because they truly just offer everything. Like, you can have any kind of diet and they have it there for you. You can be paleo, vegan, vegetarian, keto, gluten-free, omnivore, carnivore, whatever it is, Green Chef has it for you. Completely organic. It's amazing. You can feel good about what you're eating. You can feel good about what you have on your table. It's just the best. And similar to HelloFresh, everything is there for you. Need some salt? In the box. Need some oregano? In the box. Every single thing is there. They're quick and easy recipes, step-by-step instructions, chef tips, and photos to guide you along the way. Anyone can cook with Green Chef's help. It's just the best. I, as I think you guys know, I'm gluten-free, and I love their paleo options. Right now, they're popping with a paprika cumin chicken with shaved squash and carrot salad and cauliflower rice. That's fucking delicious, and I love it. And I love cauliflower rice. Even though it makes me gassy, I love it so much. So you guys need to get on board with Green Chef because it's truly the best thing to get delivered to your door you could ever think of. So, for $50 off your first box of Green Chef, go to greenchef.us/lovin, L-O-V-I-N. That's $50 off your first box of Green Chef by going to greenchef.us/lovin, L-O-V-I-N. Lady Lovin' is brought to you by HelloFresh, the meal kit delivery service of your dreams, because they shop, plan, and deliver step-by-step recipes and pre-measured ingredients right to your door so you can just cook, eat, and enjoy. I love HelloFresh because they have so many options. You can choose from classic, veggie, and family. So, you know, if you have a big, beautiful family, HelloFresh can still bring you enough food to cater to them as well. Each box is made up of fresh, responsibly obtained ingredients, which is very important to us, from carefully selected farms and high-rated trusted sources. You know, I just love knowing that I have HelloFresh waiting at my door, especially since I moved in to a new home with a beautiful kitchen. I just love knowing that my HelloFresh box will be there and I can cook myself a meal that everything is just there for me. I don't need to worry about going to the grocery store. I don't need to worry if I'm missing like a spice or salt or whatever it may be, because it's already there and it's all pre-measured. So you just literally toss things in and the meal is done for you. All of the ingredients are just the best. You know, you won't spend all night in the kitchen because recipes only take around 30 minutes, which is incredible. You don't need to have, you know, meal planning time. You don't need to have a crazy grocery shopping list. You also don't need to waste groceries. That's a huge thing that I noticed with me, is I would just buy so much stuff and end up wasting half of it because I'm just bad at grocery shopping. So get delicious and filling meals delivered right to your door every week for less than $10 per serving and free shipping. That is crazy. Less than $10 per serving is nuts. Your account is really easy to manage too, and you have the ability to choose your delivery date, you know, and if you're traveling for a month, you can pause it. So that's amazing. You don't need to worry about it. So for $30 off of your first week of HelloFresh, visit HelloFresh.com/lovin30, L-O-V-I-N 30, and enter lovin30, L-O-V-I-N 30. You guys, I just made this crazy sriracha chicken with broccoli and sweet potatoes, and you got to get it because it was really, really good. So for $30 off your first week, that's HelloFresh.com/lovin30, L-O-V-I-N-30, and with the promo code LOVIN30, L-O-V-I-N-30. And we're back from a hot-ass break.
That was hot.
It was hot. Wait, I just want to say one other quick thing about anxiety, and I actually think anxiety is a really powerful emotion and something that I don't think is like, I think if you let anxiety be a learning experience for yourself, it can actually be quite positive. And I don't know.
My dad's favorite book, he's like obsessed with this woman, I always call her – her name is Kelly McGonigal, but I always call her Professor McGonigal.
That's fair.
She's this, like, Stanford professor, and she wrote a book called, like, How to Make Stress Your Friend. And she has this amazing TED Talk. It has, you know, a lot of views. But it's basically all about saying, like, the minute you – it's exactly what you just said, Greta. The minute you put stress – on your stress, you're like creating this reaction in your body. When really, if you just use that as a tool for like either adrenaline or like, you know what I mean? Like there is something about like just embracing it and just being like, this is something that I'm going to have and be like, it just becomes less powerful, going back to what we were saying earlier. But just, yeah, like make it your friend.
Yeah.
Why not?
I have a question.
What is it?
Another question about anxiety, sort of in relation to what you guys are talking about. Like, for me, I see the benefits of trying to make anxiety your friend, like make peace with it, all of these things. But for me, like it's, and for anybody that experiences it, like it's so fucking debilitating. Mm-hmm. Like you don't want to feel it. And mm-hmm. so like I try so hard to just push it away, to do things to, you know, to make it leave my body. I meditate, I exercise, like I do all these things. I get so exhausted of doing all these things that for me, my anxiety has become about anxiety itself.
Why isn't it going away? Why isn't anything happening?
Exactly. Like why can't I resolve it? And the moment I start to feel it, it's like, oh, fuck, I have anxiety.
That's a really good question.
And I would, if you were my client, I would work really hard to, however long it took, like get to the bottom of what's actually going on. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean that like in a condescending, like what's really going on. You know what
totally,
I mean?
Yeah.
It's really, for me, that tells me that we're missing something.
But like, how do you even get to the bottom of it? You know, it's like, that yeah. seems like such a daunting concept to so yeah. many people, because it's like, because a lot of people are like, I don't know if I knew what my anxiety was about. I would tell you, you know, but I think for yeah. so many of us, for me with my anxiety too, I'm pretty keen on knowing that it's always yeah. about work for me, but sometimes I'll be feeling anxious and I'll say these things to reassure myself, and it's like, it's still not working. You
well,
know?
It may not just be one thing either. Like
totally.
It could be like millions right. of things, and so I don't think it's so definitive as like, this is the one issue and that's it.
Yeah.
I think it's just, I mean, how would you do that though? How yeah. would you get to the bottom
so,
of it?
I mean, it... You know, one of the things I heard is like, I'm doing all these things, right? Mm-hmm. First, I would, you know, I mean, we have to spend more time and it's more sessions, but I would say like, okay, well, what are the things that you're doing? And I would actually ask you like each of those experiences, like, how are you experiencing that? Like mm-hmm. if it's a workout, if it's dinner with friends, like if there's a theme of, I'm just going to like say a word for lack of a better example, is like if there's a theme of emptiness in all of that, that anxiety could be, why am I empty? You know what I mean? And it's not right. as like 1 + 2 or 1 + 1 = 2 as that. But over time, like learning about what your approach is to different experiences, how those experiences are making you feel, how those experiences are then informing other decisions. Like, mm-hmm. is there a disconnect between like clearly, I mean, I obviously like listen to you guys' show, like you have an extremely strong and powerful intuition. How much is that playing a role into like your day to day? I also think there's beauty in like, not to go back to it, but like if you wake up in a day and you just don't want to fucking work out or like see anyone, like don't see anyone mm-hmm. and just actually realize that you actually ended that day feeling pretty full. Like, for example, you know, and I think that it's not a formula, but it is a, there are, you know, for what we learned in coaching, there are different tools that we can do in each session mm-hmm. to get you somewhere. And whether right. that's like identifying what's important to you or like embodying an emotion that really scares you or embodying an emotion that you really love, or if like you just had to blurt out something that was coming up in your body or mind, like even if it was the silliest thing, like why does it keep coming back? Like giving voice to that, I think there would be more there to work with and go from right. than you maybe know of right now.
Right.
A lot of times when we talk to, like, I'll say something and Allison will be like, think about how important that thing that you said is, like, I don't ever want to feel that way again. And it's like, right. okay, well,
that thing made you feel that way and you're saying that to me, so don't do that thing anymore. Like, you know what I mean? I don't know. That's very simple too. But
in
like
coaching, yeah, like shit like
I know what you mean.
In coaching, people will like slip up. They'll be like, yeah, but like I don't, you know what I mean? They'll have these words come out that they brush aside and it's like, well, hold on. Don't brush that aside. What was that? And that will end up being the thing.
The thing,
you know?
I'm considering doing ayahuasca.
Yeah, right?
Me too. And by considering, I mean I am going to.
You should.
Really?
I'm going to do it in July.
Whoa.
That's why, like, I saw a therapist for, like, 5 years and saw a coach for 2 of those 5. And for me, like, I needed both, right? I needed to understand something I had never understood before, and I needed a weekly champion to just, like, work through things and actually give me tactical things to work on. I fully believe that, like, if you can tap into something that's blocked, like, it's not always conscious. Like, I believe in ayahuasca,
no.
You know?
I mean, look, it's a very powerful spirit that has been around for centuries.
So long, yeah.
And I think, like, I'm just – one of my really good friends works with a shaman here in L.A., and the experience is not about – it's not about taking drugs, you know what I'm saying? It's not about being on drugs. It's about this really like sacred experience where you are like unblocking yourself and sort of being forced to face, you know, these things that are deeply rooted in your body and to work them out. Like,
totally.
It's something that's supposed to help work them out. And like, I'm really interested to do it. I think it's the kind of thing that, like, so I've heard from everyone, you know, don't do it unless you really feel like you want to deal with your shit. Like,
right.
One of my really good friends did it, and she was telling me that at first she was seeing visually a bunch of people in these scary masks, but then she took a second and was like, wait, but what's behind this scary mask? And like, why do I think this is scary? And what about this is being scary to me? And like, and it was this whole conversation that she was like having about fears and what they are. And it just sounded so like transformative. And she just walked away with like so much perspective.
Yeah.
And I'm really interested in things that can unlock parts of our conscious and subconscious self and start to let them work together as one.
Totally.
Because I think that like low being incredibly intuitive, sometimes being incredibly intuitive is really scary because when you feel this powerful intuition, it's really intense.
She's got witching powers in her.
We're
she
all
does.
Witches.
I do. I have crazy energy, you guys.
But I'm just saying, like, there's a part of low that I'm sure your intuition becomes really intense, which probably leads to your anxiety. Mm-hmm. And so intuitively, I think it would be like getting all of your intuition and your conscious thought and your subconscious thought to sort of work together in symbiotic.
But what if the ayahuasca showed me the wrong thing?
It won't. She won't show you the wrong thing.
Well, are you sure? Because,
no.
Like, we can't
no,
prove.
We're not sure.
We can't prove that ayahuasca is showing you the right thing.
But that's not the mindset. That's not the mindset of doing ayahuasca.
I know.
Is like,
I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Oh, I know.
Devil's
Here's
advocate.
What
if you do ayahuasca and it just, like, plants some crazy fucking notion in your head that's not real at all?
God, I don't know.
Look,
Have you ever thought about that? I'm totally just trying to think outside the box.
The only thing I would say is, like, I do not think, like, aha moments are what we think they are. So to you, if you're going to do ayahuasca, I would say,
oh, I could leave the experience and not feel different at all.
Well,
or I could leave the experience and not feel fulfilled in a way that I had hoped.
Well, or you could, though. Or you
right,
could have
or
that
I could.
Aha moment. For me, it's more like, what is the implementation and like awareness around that aha moment? Like, it can't just happen once. Like, what do you then do with that? And so to your question, though, I mean, this is literally me speaking from not knowing anything about ayahuasca. But if something happened and you had like a really like a like weird reaction to it, like, no, that's fucking crazy. Like, you don't have to take that and have it be the answer to the rest of your life.
Oh,
but it's kind
okay.
of like, well, wait a second. Why did I hate that so much? Like, maybe it's just like the first layer, for lack of a better word, I guess.
Yeah, I think that it's like, I think like with everything, life, intention is just like number one. So if you set your intention waking up in the morning to have a positive day, or intention to have ayahuasca like not be a scary fucked up thing, I do think that you can have the right intentions. You know what I mean? I think it always boils down to the intention.
I liked what you said earlier too, Greta, about like sort of trying different things. Like, I've been a huge advocate on the podcast, said this a bunch, about, you know, not just having a therapist, or not just having a coach, or not, you know, just like, you know, doing healing or something. Like, I think that you really learn something from, you know, all of these different things, like speaking to a religious person, you know, having like a bunch of different sort of guides, because I do think that you can learn so much about yourself when you think about things in different ways, and like all of these different sort of coaching things, including like ayahuasca, whatever, like all of that, you know, really helps you dive deeper and learn more, rather than just doing sort of one thing and getting, you know, that one opinion, because it is one opinion. And sometimes you know, we need a lot.
Well, to that, I would say like there's no fix ever, because like if you believe that like we're not broken, but fucked up things can happen, like there's not one thing that's going to fix you. There are going to be different things that work for you. I know people who have done ayahuasca like 50 times. Like, we have no idea what that means, but it's like every time they learn something new and they deal with it. For them, that is the thing that helps them. But like for, you know, for some people it is therapy, for some people it is working out or whatever. There's no one fix. It's just about finding the things that make you feel more authentic, like you, and then approaching things in like the most like whole and grounded way, in that sort of connection of like whatever's going on with your mind, whatever's going on in your body, and just like living that way, I think.
I just want to say one thing really quickly about like the notion of like finding things and like working with people. A lot of you that are listening are probably like, well, I don't have access to a life coach, and like I can't afford to go to a therapist, and like I have no interest in doing ayahuasca, and like I don't have time to meditate, and all of these things. And like I do think that like we've been saying, but like so much can be gained from just like being with yourself. And I also think like we get all these emails from listeners that like they feel really isolated from their friend group. They feel like they can't even talk to these people that they're spending time with. So like find that person, or find someone that you feel like you can connect with, because so many people, you know, write into us being like, I could never say this to my friends. I could never talk about this with my closest friends. And it's like, okay, well, that's – you should be able to find – someone in your life that you can be honest and open with and talk to. And I think that like, I think that when you're vulnerable with someone, they'll be vulnerable back. I really think that if you feel like you can trust someone, do it. And I think you'll be surprised about like the kind of like really good, open, honest conversations you can have with the people that are just like around you in your day-to-day life.
Well, and then you'll start attracting people that you can trust if you start approaching
things. And then you'll feel that you're not alone.
Exactly.
Yeah. And also, to counter what you just said in a nice way, the Headspace app is $10, and sometimes a lot of insurances cover therapy. So there is that. And then I'll also add that I would probably be like dead if I didn't have my friends.
Yeah.
Like I would, because my friends are so supportive and there for me, and I can call all of them when something goes on. So I can still speak to like, you know, a therapist or a life coach, but I still have girlfriends that I can call and they're like, fuck that. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's really amazing. You do need a support system.
But like, you need your squad though. You can have every version of that. Like you can have a therapist, a coach,
and friends. So many people have shitty friends.
Totally.
And so many people don't have close friends. And like,
I didn't find friends, like real, real friends until college. I mean, I had two from high school really that carried over to my life now, but it was like the girl who wrote Mean Girls like came to my class in second grade. Like it was like moderately based off of like, but it was so shitty. Like girlfriends to me were not who I trusted. That was a learning for me. And so like, you know, my parents were, I was very close with them, and I had other relationships. But I'm just saying, like, I do think that everybody that you encounter in life, again, the cliche, but like, is a teacher in some way. And if those friends, for example, are bad or those friends are amazing, it just means that like you're learning a different lesson from this group of people. And, you know, if you do have friends that you can't say shit to, that's something to look at.
Yeah.
Purge your friends. I mean, I had to do a whole like friend purge at one point, you know, get rid of the people in your life that aren't making you feel good.
Right.
That just takes time and awareness. But one thing about coaching, I will say there's coaches like all over who are always looking either in certification or that they want to, you know, increase their skills. Like if people reach out to coaching schools and say, do you have anyone who could take me on pro bono? Like people out there want to do this work because they want to work with people. Mm-hmm. Pricing shouldn't be the issue to stop you from at least pursuing something.
Yeah. I didn't mean to just sound discouraging.
No,
I was just saying, you know, a lot of people get overwhelmed. Like finances are stressful.
And then the last question that we have is, you know, a lot of people have also written in that what happens when your boyfriend blames all the problems in your relationship on your anxiety, or how do you talk to your significant other, your boyfriend or your girlfriend? Sorry, I didn't mean to just say boyfriend, your boyfriend or your girlfriend, about you having anxiety. A lot of people are afraid to say that to someone that they're with because they're scared, or, you know, the person they're with isn't supportive and helping them. So how would you handle that?
Oh my God, it's such a good question. It hits me here for some reason. I don't know. I'm pointing to my heart. I guess I can answer that by using a personal example, which is that in my relationship, I am the one with a very loud form of anxiety. And what I have learned, I mean, I have a really supportive partner. Like, he doesn't blame things on my anxiety, but I get mad at him for blaming my anxiety before I have even told him that, like, I think he's doing this. So in other words, I internalize it so much to the point of, like, it paralyzes me and then it becomes a whole fight and it was, like, me the whole time. So I think that if people are asking about their partner is blaming their anxiety, I mean, first of all, you need to really understand that. Like, why – like, I mean, I guess – sorry, I'm being wordy, but it's a hard question to answer, because why is that person blaming the anxiety? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's
–
I'm
not
going
to – you.
I'm not going to say, like, that's fucked up and that means they're not supportive. Like, maybe your anxiety really is paralyzing. But I would say, like, that to me just feels like – because of the anxiety, actions are people are acting in ways that are not really true to like how they feel, and therefore like a conversation just needs to be had. Like, really the person with anxiety needs to understand like what is hard for this person about their anxiety. Because I oftentimes when someone pushes something away like that, it means that they can't deal with it themselves. So why is this partner so, you know, angry at this anxiety, and like understanding that? Or it's the other person asking for help and saying, I need, this is not something that I can conquer on my own, and I need you there for me to get through this.
And what are tips about, you know, how you could tell your partner that, you know, I'm struggling with this and I want to let you know, or I just want you to be aware?
I mean,
just
bravery.
Saying that.
Yeah. Bravery. Seriously. And trust that you're going to sort of unravel yourself to this person and they're going to be able to listen.
I also think it's important to remember and realize that in any relationship, you have like your list of things that are great and then you have your list of things that are shitty, right? And it's different in every relationship. And like if you're a partner or you have anxiety about something, you're probably really good in the sack. So there's a push-pull here.
Hot and a bit.
Do you know what I mean? I'm just saying, like, if you are someone that doesn't experience anxiety and your partner does, be patient with them, because there are things that could be different in your next relationship that you don't like even more than this. So I would implore you to express patience and love towards your person that struggles with this kind of thing. because most often it's not about you.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
This has been a great episode.
It has. I feel like I've learned.
I know. Grown, learn, evolve.
Me too. I need some Reiki healing right now.
Thank you so much for coming and joining us today.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you,
Allison.
Where can our listeners find you and get to know you better?
So I have a website. It's, you know, the presence is ever growing, but it's alignmentwithally.com. And from there you can email me or reach out, or I'm on Instagram, Alignment with Allie as well. And, yeah, that's it.
Awesome.
I live in LA, but I take phone sessions.
We ask our guest, who their lady lovin' is this week. That's, you get to shout out a woman that you love and admire, dead, alive, doesn't matter. So who's your lady lovin' this week? So I really sprung this on you. I can say one while you simmer. Our lady lovin' to I know that Anthony Bourdain is not a lady, but
he could be our lady lovin' this
week. He
could
be a lady that we love.
I found out that news. Cried a lot. Same. And it's been making me think
and
a lot.
Kate Spade. Maybe they're both our lady lovin'.
No, I wasn't done. I was going to say our lady lovin' goes to Anthony Bourdain's family and Kate Spade's family.
Beautiful.
And their daughters, and just sending them a lot of love.
Yeah.
So now it's me.
Yeah. Yes.
This is a little let me think. I honestly would just have to say my mother, because she practices Reiki, but she also struggles with the same anxiety I do in different ways. Like, we get worked up about the same stuff. And I also have I consult for a beauty company, and there's a lot of things in that job that stress me out every day. And every day I'm reminded of why I need to practice like the Reiki to balance myself out. But it's like, you know, you always say, like, I'll call my parents, but I'll be like, you don't really understand what it's like to work these days. Like, we're more accessible than you were, and like, it's so much harder. And she, like, every single time is able to, like, separate what she doesn't know about the working industry right now and like, bring me back to complete and utter, like, centeredness of myself. And I think it's because she knows me, but I also think it's because, like, she's my mom, but she's also, like, a Reiki teacher for me. And so she's just – yeah, I just called her on my way here, too, to work something out, and I just always admire her advice and input.
Love that. Nice. Love a mom.
Love a mom.
Well, thank you guys for listening.
Thank you. We hope
you tell your friends about us, tell your mom about us. You know, hope you have a good week. Stay positive. Write a gratitude list. Try and just try.
Try to try.
Try to try. Eat a cookie. I don't know.
Love yourself. And
give us five
stars
on iTunes.
Subscribe.
And leave nice comments. We only like nice comments. and that's it. Hope you have a good week. It's summer.
Happy summer.
Wear your SPF, y'all.
Yes. Bye. Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.